My dear brother bishops, my dear brother priests and deacons, beloved seminarians, fellow religious, members of the community, and in a very special way, those to be ordained deacons and their wives and their families. I read something interesting a month or so ago that I've used in a number of my homilies, and I'd like to use it again today because it was something that I had never even thought possible. It's from a book by Sebastian Junger entitled Tribe, on Homecoming and Belonging. And in this book, Mr. Junger quotes our own Benjamin Franklin. It seems that the English colonies were experiencing what they saw as a bizarre problem. Thousands, not hundreds, but thousands of white European colonists desperately wanted to be Indians. But virtually no Indian wanted to be a European. Now that's kind of counter expectations, right? In Franklin's own words, in a letter to a friend in 1753, he expressed the problem. This is what he said. When an Indian child has been brought up among us, taught our language, and habituated to our customs, if he goes to see his relatives and makes one Indian ramble or trip with them, there is no persuading him ever to return. But when whites were taken prisoner by the Indians, they would go native and would want to stay native. Though ransomed by their families, though treated with unimaginable tenderness to prevail them to stay among the English, yet in a short time they became disgusted with our manner of life and take the first good opportunity to escape into the woods. Now, many of you know that my family is Native American, but that's not why I chose to share this story with you. As I said earlier, this reflection of Benjamin Franklin runs contrary to our assumptions, but happened, as Franklin said, thousands of times. The intensely communal nature of the Indian tribes was something that the material benefits of Western civilization could not compete with. The situation of our culture today in 21st century America is perhaps worse than it was in those days. Last month, I read an article in the Philadelphia Inquirer that reported a recent senior insurance study which said that, quote, social isolation, their word for loneliness, afflicts 41% of our fellow Philadelphians. 41%. That might be 41% of our congregation this morning. And that number rises to 48.3% for young adults between the ages of 18 and 22. 51% of Philadelphians doubt that anyone knows them well. Loneliness is seen as a mounting public health problem by counseling professionals. Another thing, the high-profile celebrity suicides of Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain this week has caused a growing fear of what's called suicide contagion. And between 1999 and 2016, the suicide rate in Pennsylvania rose by more than 34%. Now, what does all of that have to do with our ordination today? My dear brothers, to be ordained as deacons. Today's scripture readings reference many qualities to be required of those who are to be ordained as deacons: dignity, truthfulness, temperance, generosity, and holding fast to the mystery of faith with a clear conscience. But the quality I want to focus on in my reflections to you on this day of your ordination is found in our first reading from the Acts of the Apostles. The situation described there is this: among the early Christians, the Hellenists, those who were born outside of Israel and had come back, were feeling neglected by their Aramaic-speaking brothers, the majority of the Christian community in Jerusalem. And so seven men, like yourselves, were chosen with the purpose of healing this brokenness in the church. The Aramaic-speaking had a sense of community, but it was tribal, it was limited. It didn't extend to those outside the group they best knew. And deacons were brought into existence to heal this problem. We know that the church is essentially a community based on the Trinitarian community of the life of God. God in his very self is a community of persons. One God, but three persons. The Father loving the Son, and the Son loving the Father, and the Father and the Son loving the Holy Spirit, who loves the Father and the Son. God is a community of love. And we believe that through baptism, each of us is also inserted into that Trinitarian community and are called to live it in our relationships with our brothers and sisters, to live a life of genuine community and love. And we believe that priests and deacons are chiefly servants of this communal dimension of our life together. Through your preaching, the kerygma, you invite the faithful into the very life of the Holy Trinity. In your care for the community, we refer to that as koinonia, you build up the sense of belonging in the life of the church. And in your specific task of diaconia, which is service, you're called to help the poor and those who are suffering to experience the tender love of God that exists in the Trinity and in our community as a church. Your ordination as deacons is an invitation to be embraced by Jesus Christ, who came among us not to be served, but to serve. And that dimension of holy orders, the foundational dimension, the first step of holy orders, is primarily a service to build up the community of the church. Now, how do you do that? Doing things in a real practical way is sometimes the more difficult part of our life in the church. How do we become the kind of servant that God wants us to be? Well, the answer to that question is found best in today's gospel. Jesus summoned, as you've been summoned together this morning, the disciples of the church and said to them, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great ones, the important ones, make their authority felt. But it shall not be that way among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servants. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just so, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for the many." My dear brothers, as you prostrate in the sanctuary this morning, as you prepare to receive the laying on of hands and the gift of ordination through the Holy Spirit, you will symbolize by your bodily posture that you're willing to give your life as a ransom for the many. That's how to be deacons. I mean, to live your life in your family, first of all, but in the community of the church, in a way that demonstrates your willingness to give everything to the Lord Jesus in the service of his brothers and sisters. That's your intention, I'm sure, today. But it's always much more difficult to be faithful to that intention as the years go on. So our prayer for you this morning, as you consecrate your ministry and your vocation to God, is that you will keep before your eyes the Lord Jesus himself, who is the best teacher, not only with his words, but by the way he lived his life. We pray that you'll keep your eyes on the cross, which is a symbol of his giving his life for the ransom of the world. And may that cruciform way of life characterize your ongoing service to the church as deacons. May the Lord bring to completion the good things he begins in you today.